We are in Galatians chapter 2, and so I was told last week that I reviewed for too long, and so everybody's a critic. And so, but maybe they were right. I don't remember. And so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to go a 2 minute. Somebody can time me. On Galatians, okay? So last week we did chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And so just as a quick review, we talked about not being a Lone Ranger Christian. We introduced you to some of Paul's traveling companions, to Barnabas, to Titus, Barnabas the Jew, to Titus the Greek Gentile who became a Christian in Antioch. We talked to you about Paul and them. They went to Jerusalem where the church started, and because some false brothers were coming in saying, oh yeah, Jesus is great, you need to have him, but really you got to be Jews first and you have to do all this stuff. And Paul went in response to a revelation, and we talked about how he responded to that. He spoke to the Lord and that how we should be the same. We should be asking God continually in that communication. And if you do that, he will generously answer because he wants to build that relationship with you and teach and train you. We talked about that all wisdom is from the Lord and he'll give it to us and help us to think in a different way. We told you about he went up there because folks were saying that, hey, it's not just grace by faith that we're saved. You got to do all this stuff. It's a working, it's, you got to work your way into heaven, and it's not like that, Paul said. And so we talked about how there's false brethren. When he went after that council in Jerusalem, they said, hey, we realize that God doesn't show favoritism. Jews, Gentiles, black, white, we're all one in Christ Jesus. And that we're not to show favoritism either. And then all those legalists, all those Judaizers expected the hammer to come down and Paul and his work there and Barnabas and Antioch. And instead what happens, they saw that what Paul was doing was complementary. It was not contradictory to the message. And that God was working equally, Jews, Gentiles alike. And they recognized the grace given to Paul. And all they said was, hey, make sure your gifts are given to the poor so that your faith is being worked out by your good deeds. And so we left that we are being called. We've been called by freedom in Christ. He freely offers that gift of faith to us that we can freely receive or freely reject. And then we are called to live in that freedom, but not to use that freedom as a license to sin. And so that's where we left off. 2 minutes?
A little over.
Oh, that's close enough. Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. So, okay, so we got a lot. We're going to go through Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 21. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see a few different things as we go through the scriptures, as we cover these 10 verses, or right, 10 verses, yeah. And some of you guys are like to keep notes and write in your Bibles or take notes, and if you do, this is what we're going to see. We're going to see Peter's relapse. After they've already had this talk, after they already confirmed that the Gentiles can be saved by grace through faith and all this, Peter had a little relapse when he comes to Antioch, and we'll talk about that. That's in verses 11 to 13. We're going to also see Paul's rebuke, and Paul actually had to rebuke Peter. We're going to see it. It's a very uncomfortable thing. He had to rebuke Peter to his face in front of people. And so that was very strange, very odd confrontation, but you'll see hopefully the reasons why in verse 14. You're going to see Paul's review as he's speaking to him about in verse 15 and 16, how a believer is justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. That's how we're to live. You're going to see in verse 17 and 18, Paul's rejection, because some people were saying, oh, this grace thing, this free, this Jesus thing, if it's just Jesus is all we need to be saved, then people are just going to use it as a license to sin. And Paul's going to be like, I reject that completely. Just the opposite. If I realize that I'm saved, if I'm really saved, and I'm saved through grace, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do the right thing. It's not a license to sin. And then you'll see in verse 19 and 20, Paul's reflection on really what a justified life is going to look like. And then finally, in verse 21, Paul's going to return to the main point of it all, and we'll save that for the very end. So that's where we're at, and so we start off in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Read it with me. It says, "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong." Now, that, just that one statement right there should just kind of freak you out a little bit. I want you to think about this. Peter, the rock, right? I mean, we're talking about, you know, arguably, he was probably the, I don't know if you have a president of the apostles, but he was kind of like the outspoken leader, I would say, of those apostles, wouldn't you say? When everybody had it, he was the first one to say, "Lord, you know, I would die for you." He was also the first one to stick his foot in his mouth a lot, right? But he was. When the Holy Spirit fell upon them at Pentecost, right? He was the first one to get up and he proclaimed boldly the word of God, didn't he? So here we have Peter. The church started in Jerusalem. Peter was a good Jewish boy. And now we're getting in this conflict with the most widely known Christian at the time, Peter. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He saw supernatural things with Jesus continually for years. And here's Paul. Now, to be honest, Paul at this point isn't really known as, he's only been on like one missionary journey. He's not really known as, I guess, the Apostle Paul that much, other than probably in a few cities and in Galatia and Antioch. He's known as Paul the killer. Paul the anti-Christian. Right? That's what he's known as. And here is Paul rebuking Peter realize what is going on. And Pastor, I thought you said, you talked about last week, you mentioned this verse, I remember it. You said in 2 Timothy 2:25, you talked about that the Bible says we are to gently instruct those who oppose the truth, that perhaps God will change their hearts and they will learn the truth. I remember you saying that. And Pastor, I remember you taught before. Galatians 6:1 says, if anyone is in a sin, you who are spiritual should go to them and lead them back to the faith, but do it gently. And the fruit of the Spirit, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what's going on? Well, that's absolutely true. But what is also true is there are times, my friends, when you are going to have to take a stand. And there are some times that you have to increase from correction and instruction to even rebuke. That's not a fun thing. Nobody likes it. But you have to do it sometimes. Listen, and this is not just Pastor Darren saying this. This is what the Bible teaches. I want you to understand this. Now, this is not an excuse for an overly angry person to go vent every time he feels like it. You understand? But there are times when rebukes come about. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says it's living, it's active, it's on fire when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it says all Scripture is God breathed from the mouth, the breath of God. His Spirit is God breathed, and it's useful for teaching. What we're doing now, He commands us to do that. Listen, teach, grow, strengthen, be equipped, be encouraged. And it also corrects us, we see. And it also trains us in righteousness so that we can live in a way that other people can look at us and say, "Whoa, your speech is different. Now that you've become a Christian, is your speech different? Or are you still making excuses? Is your attitude different?" You hear what I'm saying? These are good, but it also says not only teaching, correcting, training in righteousness, not only that, but also it says in there, rebuking. Now, that's not fun to give or to get. And hopefully, we keep our spirits humble so that we are corrected long before that happens. But there are times when, if we are stubborn enough, or whatever, that God has to allow that to happen, and we have to be open to receiving it and to giving it. Listen to what it says in this. I love this. Can I tell you something? Oh, Lord, tell me not to say it. Oh, I planned to say it, and he didn't want me to say it. Second Timothy 4:2 says, and I remember Alistair Begg. There was a conference with us pastors. I don't know if you know who Alistair Begg is, but he talks like this. He, I remember him saying, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season."
Oh, he's a pirate.
No, he's not a pirate. That's my Scottish wife. Anyway, whatever he is. Anyway, he says, preach the word. He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. There is power in the word of God. And the word of God tells us from a heart of love, right? Not so you can bash somebody, right? Not so you can take the mallet of Jesus Christ and bludgeon them with it. No. It comes from a heart of love saying, you are going the wrong direction. Stop. Turn around. But that's part of what the Word of God says. Rebuke and encourage. That word rebuke in the Greek is epitomao. And that means, just so you know, in the original language, it means to censor severely, or admonish, or reproof, or by information. I have a hard time speaking today. By implication, to forbid. Zoinks. To straightly charge. To charge sharply. Or to rebuke. And sometimes God has to have that happen. Now, what I've watched many Christians do, actually, what I've watched too many Christians do, is when they get to the correction part. Well, first, to be honest, when we're at the teaching part, oh, we don't want to do that. We just want to go to a place that makes us feel good. We want a place that serves us, not where we have to serve. And then when it comes to correction, I watch a whole nother group. Oh, we don't want to listen. I'll listen to you teach. I like your teaching, but I don't want you to correct any area of my life. That's just getting way too far, Pastor. You have to allow that. We have to allow that. The Word of God does that. And we're to hold, help each other, encourage each other in righteousness. That's what the Word says. So a whole nother people don't want to listen to correction. And then there's another group where the rebuke has to happen. And sadly, when this has to happen, and I hate it, most people, I shouldn't, but I do, I still struggle. When it happens, majority, I would say, of folks, what they do is they get, the ones that weren't teaching the correction, they're not already mad. If we get to a rebuke, then, well, I don't need to listen to that. I don't need, all you do is talk about the Bible. The world's bigger than the Bible. We don't need to, well, it says what it says, dude. So, you know, whatevs, you. So there are times, and now, how do we handle that? You have to make that choice. How will you handle that? Listen, the Bible says a lot about stuff. The Bible says, you know what? I don't want you to rebuke mockers or scoffers. Don't waste your time. He's like, because you know why? The Bible says they're going to hate you for it. And if you ever go to many brothers I've come to, and if I correct them, or hey man, in a cool, try to do it in a cool way, and same thing with, if they're not, you know, if you rebuke a scoffer or a mocker, oh, I don't need to listen to you. But then there's other folks, like for example, there are times where I've corrected and even rebuked Pastor Gary, and Gary has done the same for me. Pastor Gary's at Lester. I've done with him. He's done for me. Okay? And so, my wife. That's another one. The point I'm trying to make is, how will you handle it when you're corrected or when you're rebuked? You going to take your ball, go home? I'm going to find a church that I don't have to be challenged on anything. Because that's easier. Or are you going to say, oh Lord, I want whatever you want. Just make me more like your son. Listen. Here's what the Bible says that we should have. This is in Proverbs 9:8. It says, don't rebuke mockers or they'll hate you. But if you rebuke the wise person, if you rebuke the wise, then they will love you. And I can tell you, absolutely, you can tell the difference. Now, they might not like it in that moment. Can I just be honest? Nobody likes it in the moment, or very few. Let's just put it that way. However, I can tell you that if you're a very mature or godly person, you're going to say thank you, because you know it's going to be done from a heart of love if it's being handled right, and you know it's going to be according to the Word of God. Does that make sense? Now, last chapter, we were talking about false brothers who had infiltrated the people in Galatia, the cities of Galatia, the territory of Galatia. And now it says, look at with me in verse 12, because it says, verse 11 said, when Peter came to Antioch, he came down to this city. And you remember, Antioch was the third largest city in the world. There was Rome, Alexandria in Egypt, and then Antioch. He said, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. This wasn't a little thing. This wasn't something I'm not sure about. Should I say it? I don't know. This was something he was clear. The Bible says clearly in the wrong. Verse 12 says, before certain men came with James, that means from the church of Jerusalem, where James was kind of like the leader at that time. It says, before certain men came from James in Jerusalem, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles. So the Bible says not only were there these false believers, but it also says, like in Acts 15:5, that there were some people who believed, Jews in Jerusalem, Pharisees, who it says, Acts 15:5, that some of the believers who belonged to the party of Pharisees stood up and said, hey, the Gentiles must be circumcised and be required to keep the law. So there were also some who were actually believers. They weren't false brothers. They were just misinformed brothers. They were Pharisees. They lived Jewish. They lived righteousness. And they thought, oh, you got to be a Jew first. Oh, we're all about Jesus. We love Jesus. But you got to be a Jew, of course. You got to get circumcised. You got to go through all the rituals. You got to eat kosher. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:28, we're going to read later, that there's neither Jew nor Gentile nor slave nor free, nor is there male and female. At the foot of the cross, you are all one in Christ Jesus. It starts and ends with him. Does that make sense? We are all equal brothers and sisters. The fact that I'm a pastor just means I have a different role. It does not mean I'm better than you. And I've watched many pastors, they look down secretly at their congregations or at other people. Peasants. I won't even tell you what, because we don't need to get... Peter himself even said, you remember the story, I went over it last week, so I don't want to go over it again, but you remember Cornelius, God spoke to him, and he sent for Peter, and as that sheet came down, and he spoke to Peter and said, hey, don't call what I call clean unclean, and then these Gentiles came and said, hey, they're calling you, Peter. God sent me to. And he went back and he started speaking to these Gentiles and telling them the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't circumcised. They didn't obey the law of Moses. They weren't Jewish. They didn't follow anything, but the Holy Spirit came upon them and they all got saved. And they all got baptized without any prerequisites at all. So Peter knew, and he said, I realize now that God does not show favoritism. That's in Acts chapter 10, 34. So Peter knew. So imagine the scene in your head. Imagine the scene, okay? Here we are, Antioch, big city, right? Jews and Gentiles. Does that make sense? People are coming to know the Lord. People are getting saved. Barnabas is there ministering, kind of pastoring. He gets Paul from Tarsus. He comes down. They start ministering together. People are getting saved. People are getting disciples, trained up, getting strengthened in the Lord. And when you get strengthened in the Lord, it's just not so you can be saved, it's so you can share your faith with other people. And so stuff is happening, and then Peter comes down. Peter! All these Gentiles, and they're all saved. Now imagine, come on, right? Peter's coming down from Jerusalem. And they have this big love feast, and they're eating and chowing together, right? And, you know, they're having a barbecue or whatever. And they're all eating together, right? And so, you know, Peter's, oh, hey, bring me the pulled pork. You know, let's put it on, and we're chowing. And they're sitting with them, and they're like, hey, Peter. So you walked with Jesus. Did you really see him transfigured? Like, was it really, like, he's like, yeah. He was, like, white like lightning. Wow, that's amazing. Hey, Peter, did you actually rebuke Jesus and tell him after you said he was the Christ, the living God, did you actually tell him he couldn't go to the cross? Yeah, I did that. I was dumb, I know. Did you walked on water? Peter? Is this real? Or is this just a story I heard? It's all true. Everything you heard about the Lord, everything you heard about miracles, right from my eyes and my lips to yours, personally, it's true. And they're fellowshipping, and they have a friendship, and they're growing in the Lord together. And then all of a sudden, the Jewish believers come down from Jerusalem, probably some of those Pharisees. And then Paul comes in, and he notices that Peter's not hanging out with the Gentile group anymore, eating the barbecue. And in fact, he's noticed that there's a separate table. Yeah, it's over here. And he notices that all the Gentiles are not being allowed to sit at that table with Peter and with the Jews because, you know, it would be unlawful for a Jewish person to eat with a Gentile. And, you know, they probably will eat unkosher things. And, you know, you got to be Jewish to be saved. Am I right? So they thought. And so the Gentiles are feeling like second class citizens. Yeah. You go sit over there. Okay. We're all for Jesus, but, you know. Can you kind of see it in your mind? And they're all sitting over there and they're like, what's going on? And night after night, and he's eating over here. And then the other Jews that got saved, and they're all together, start saying, well, I guess if Peter's doing it, well, I guess maybe I don't know enough. I guess maybe he's right. Maybe they are unclean. I don't know. I don't know. He's you know, it's Peter. Well, I'm going to go sit with them over here. Wait, you know, Levi, what are you doing? We all got saved together. Remember, we got baptized together. Why don't you sit with us at the what does it matter? We're all one in Christ. I can't do that anymore. I need to, because these people are really religious over here. So you see where this is going? And all of a sudden, Paul's, I can see him in this room, and there are all the Jews now. And now you got a divided church. You got all the Jews following the self-righteous Pharisees and Peter, unfortunately, and everybody's looking to him and all the Jews, even so much it says, well, I won't get to that, but that Barnabas, Paul's best friend, he's like, Yeah, maybe I should do that too, I guess. And he goes over there. But it says, look it with me in verse 12. It says, listen to this. It says, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was what? I would underline that in your Bibles. He was afraid. He feared. Afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Listen, and I went over this yesterday. I went over this last week. Sorry when you teach a lot. Now, I don't think it was because these Pharisees were all big and burly, because Peter was a big and burly fisherman. I think it was just because they were very self-righteous. Maybe they were big speakers, and they were acting all religious, and so I gotta. Maybe felt that pressure. You say, how could Peter do this? He knew better. But can I ask you? Sometimes you do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we succumb to peer pressure. It's true. I've done it. It's wrong every time, right? You cave. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't have done it. You know it. But you did it anyway. So don't get all self-righteous on me like the Pharisee table, right? Because we've all been there. And right now, Peter was there. And that gives me great hope, because that says we can all mess up. If Peter, who walked with Jesus, saw him transfigured, miracle, cross, resurrection from the dead, can mess up, so can we. Anyway, but it says the fear of man will prove to be a snare, a trap, but who trusts in the Lord will keep safe. Whenever you start fearing more of what people think than what God thinks, there's a problem. Listen, when I had to call, when the Lord spoke to me, just as an example, when the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to have that person pray for the congregation. Lord, he's new at the church. I don't want to do that. What if he doesn't, you know, what if he's offended or gets... Okay, I get that, but I want you to do it. I want him to pray for us. Okay, Lord, maybe you're not understanding. Okay, what I'll do is I'll go and tell him that way. I'll do what you want, but I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, I get that. I don't want you to do that. I just want you to call on him. I'll just give him a little hint, just a little whisper in the ear. Hey, so I'll let you know I'm going to call on you and pray. Yeah, no, I must have asked him at least 4 times. No. So I have a choice to come up here. Now, you would never know. No one would ever know, would you? I could have just shut up and prayed, looked spiritual, but what I've been right in my heart? Fear of man. Do I do it? Do I not? You might have friends that might be going a different direction. Are you going to take a stand for your faith? Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, can I tell you what I see a lot of Christians? Listen, if you're here today, I pray that you would be here today and listen to this message. So hear it. Many, many Christians, and if you're online, I want you to hear this message. Look me in my eyeballs and hear this message. I see many Christians today here, and especially, now the Lord's saying, don't say that, and also at home, that live in fear. And that is a faith killer. That is a relationship with God killer. What it does is it rips off a little piece of you. Not much. Well, Pastor, I can't give to the tithe box because we're not, you know, and I don't know what you give, so this is not a ploy to get money from you. Everybody understands that, right? Yeah. Pastor, I can't give. I've heard this, you know, I just can't do it. Well, just give what you can. Oh, I can't, because if I don't, I might not have enough. And I mean, just give and trust God. No, I can't. The Lord wants you to serve. You know, we need so much service in this church. I don't ask anybody's. God has to put it on your heart. We need help with the audiovisual stuff. We need help in children's ministry. We need help with greeters. We need help with cleaning. We need help with making food for people. We need help in a zillion areas. Well, I would do it, Pastor, but I have to be careful with my time. I want to guard my time. I'm afraid to commit. I don't want to commit. You know, I'll do it once in a while, but I don't want to commit. Hey, we haven't seen you in church a while, and if you're going elsewhere, that's fine. And no, Pastor, I'm not going elsewhere. I just watch online. Well, why are you just watching online? I haven't a mask mandate and vaccine mandate and COVID and Omicron and everybody else on Optimus Prime. I don't know. Listen, these are serious things. I understand. I've had it. I'm not saying be unwise about it, right? But what I'm saying is, oh my goodness, do not live in that fear. God says, don't give up in the habit of meeting together. He's given you different gifts and empowerments by the Holy Spirit. He's called you to be together as a body. You have gifts others don't have in this body to share it. And yet, yeah, I understand that, Pastor, but you know, Pastor, I'm afraid of people. I'm afraid of people. I just, you know, that church is a small church, a very homey church. You know, and I might have to sit right next to Neely, and, you know, she's sort of reeking, and I don't know how I feel about that. Listen, I get it. Can I tell you something? I'm afraid of people. You know, one of my biggest fears, it was kind of funny. You know what one of my biggest fears is? Speaking to people. Now, I can talk to you one-on-one, love it, bring it, but you want me to get up and boldly proclaim in front of everybody. I remember since we talked about Alistair Begg with that same conference, he said, preaching is like dying naked in front of people, week after week, a little bit at a time. Because they see every flaw, every failure. If you're doing it right, you're not a superstar, gelled-haired, white teeth-capped pastor. You be real, and that's what it's like. The point that I'm making, and I have to fight sometimes with coming. And maybe you do too, but you're here. So that says something about you. But there's plenty of other folks, unfortunately, they're not. And I'm not attacking anyone. Listen, and because we've all been there, right? But if I would let that fear dominate me, I would not be here on Sunday. Or you would have nobody preaching to you. Or you have somebody better. Hey, that might be great. No. The point I'm trying to make is if I succumb to that fear, right, my faith is hindered. I am not blessed, which I do get blessed, and you're not blessed. It's the same thing when you succumb to that fear. Fear is not from the Lord. Now, again, I'm not saying, please don't mishear me, I'm not saying you can't be concerned, use discernment, write on things, wisdom, right? You guys hear me, right? But that fear that you have that is so gripping, that anxiety, the worry that stops you, that paralyzes you, is not from the Lord. Jesus' name, rebuke it. Get rid of it. And trust in the word of God. Listen, I feel this way. I do. I'm not minimizing it. But the word of God says this, and instead of giving in to my fear, that's very real right now, I'm going to stand and I'm going to preach to you, trusting in the word of God that it's going to have an effect. And the word of God won't return void. In your own personal life, every time you choose to trust in the word of God instead of trusting in your fear and your anxieties and your worries, every time you choose to do that and to trust in the Lord, trust in his word, your faith grows, you become strengthened in the Lord. Every time you get it away, you become a little piece away. Look at the scripture picture. Hit the lights for a second, Mr. Chris. Listen, God has not given you, and this is not an attack. Nobody's kicking you when you're down. Maybe this is a correction. Maybe you're feeling like I'm rebuking you, but I'm not. I'm doing it in the Lord. I pray, God, keep away. bring everybody you want to hear this message. So you're hearing it. If you're hearing it online or later in the week, it's because the Lord wants you to hear this message. But God has not given you that spirit of fear. And it's tearing you apart. Now, you don't know what it's doing. I know I should do this. I know I should, you know, I know my kid needs this, but I just want him to like me so much. And I know that I'll just do what they want instead of what I know what's right for them. I know my husband, I know my wife, I know I should, but... And the enemy rips a little piece at a time. Fear, fear, fear. And you know what you start doing? You start believing the lie. Enemy's making you afraid. Yeah, I believe the lie. And all of a sudden, there's less and less of you because that fear is ripping away at your soul. And then you start believing the lie because it feels easier for you, right? You just believe the lie? I'll just believe it. Well, I can't. I'm fearful of people. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Other people are fearful of people. Isn't that true? So maybe I don't need to show up at church. I don't need to preach. They can get another preacher. See what I'm saying? Whatever it is for you, and it could be different. I'm just using an example from my life. Does that make sense? Well, I don't want to commit to the church. I don't want to commit to serving. I don't want to commit. You are losing out, and so are the people around you. And maybe there's folks that are at home right now. We're not being blessed because you're not here. Or maybe involvement, whatever it is. Or I know I should be going deeper in the Lord. I don't know. I can't handle that stuff. Can't handle it either, but God knows you. He'll empower you to do it. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? All right, I see hands up. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That is what your God gives you. So every time you're trusting in the fear instead of you're trusting in the faith, this is what's happening to you. Do not let that happen in Jesus' name. Ask the Lord to empower you, strengthen you, and you trust by faith in his word, and you do it anyway. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be fearful, but you don't give in to that fear. Does that make sense? Chris, you had your hand up, so I'm going to...
So then what you're saying is fear is both contagious... and progressive?
It is both contagious and progressive. Well, I'm going to find other people just like me who are afraid to go to church, and we're going to get together. And so, see, we're still getting together. That's not what God wants. I asked somebody else to serve, so that counts, doesn't it? Somebody else, I saw somebody else give. I encourage them to give you. That fear is contagious, and it will spread, and it will grow. Absolutely. Yes, good word. Chris, would you give that? There's another person with their hand up back in the back, and I want to make sure that everybody has a chance. Thank you. Yep.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying, when you're afraid and you do it anyway, God is the one that empowers you to do what he wants you to do anyway.
Absolutely. When it's according to his word and his ways. Yes, every single time. And then what happens? Who grows? I grow, and then people around me grow as they see me stepping out. Hey, I thought you were afraid of public. What are you doing so bold up there? That's because Jesus. See, now you know it's not because of me that I'm here. It's not some rush that I get. It's because of Jesus Christ empowering me every single week. Ooh. Yeah, but that's just for the pastor. That's not for me. Absolutely not. Don't you believe that lie for a minute. Don't you live in that fear. You live by faith. Does that make sense to you? You know what is God convicting you of right now? What is stopping you? What is holding you back? Whatever that is, you operate by faith instead of by fear. Otherwise, actually, what happens is, it's not that you just don't grow. You actually go backwards a bit. Fear, 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 fear. Chain, chain, chain. You can only go so far, but even with that chain, you notice, I don't know if you noticed that too. You can only go so far, but in the meantime, tearing off a little piece of you is in the Lord. Don't you listen to that. See, God is trying to train you up for the future. Well, Pastor, I can't go to the church because you require people to wear masks. And listen, if you want to wear a mask, good, wear a mask. Wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. Fantastic. If you want to get vaccinated, that's your choice. Get vaccinated. It's your choice. We make our own choices. I may choose not to. You may choose to. It's okay. You do what you choose. What you pray, ask the Lord. The point is, either way, or whatever come what may, I'm going to do what the Lord calls. Because what are you going to do when, remember that prayer this morning? There's people that are meeting together under the threat of a gun. And there are people, I don't want to go into church because there's too many people. See what I'm saying? When we compare it, like, what happens if it gets amped up? What happens if the persecution, which it is, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer, I'm just telling you, it will increase, guarantee it. So you have to trust the Lord now at this point and let your faith grow. Does that make sense? Hear me now. So how do we handle this? When fear, anxiety takes over, what do we do? This next scripture picture hopefully will help you. I don't know if you can see it. That fear coming from him. That demonic fear, because it's not. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, right? But of love and of power and of a sound mind. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we are to cast all of our fears. Or some translations will say cares. Some will say anxiety or anxieties. Cast all your anxieties on your friend. Is that what it says? Cast all your anxieties and getting angry at, no. Cast all your fears, all your anxieties on him, Jesus Christ. And why? Why do we do that? Because I'm going to trust in your word and that you're going to empower me when I choose to do that and do it anyway. That's where your strength comes in. That's where your growth comes in. That's where your encouragement comes in. That's where other people's strength and encouragement comes in. Do you get it? You don't do that, you're going backwards. Does that picture not give inaccurate? You trust in his word no matter what. Make sense? Listen, the Bible says, do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. For I am with you. We always think we're so alone. And sometimes we are. But if you're a Christian, you're never alone. You really have him. Even if you can't sense him, he's there for you. He says, don't be dismayed, because that's what we do. I am your God. I am your God. And I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It doesn't matter how far over that cliff you're hanging. Your heavenly Father's got you. And believe me, he's not going to let go. Does that make sense? Lights. I'm sorry. Please. Thank you, Chris. Verse 13, it says, the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that their hypocrisy, sorry, my eyes can't read very well. The other Jews joined him, verse 13 says, in his hypocrisy, so that their hypocrisy even led Barnabas astray. So that even Barnabas was led astray. Listen, that word hypocrisy, a lot of people have the wrong version. Hypocrisy, we sometimes hear it in the news or something. Hypocrisy isn't setting a goal and then falling short. Do you know what I'm saying? Like some people get accused of hypocrisy. Let's just say, hey, I don't know. Let's just say lying, okay? I always use my own examples, embarrass myself so that no one else gets embarrassed, okay? So here we go. So I am a big, and maybe I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to. I don't feel like I shouldn't. I'm a big truth guy, right? Okay? So when I speak, it's truth. Even if I get embarrassed, I get humiliated, if it goes against me, if I lose money, that's my deal. I always want to be truthful. Okay, so the Lord, he's so gracious, gave me an illustration where I got to mess up. So, just to be honest, as we're going through the book of Galatians, because he's so faithful, even lets me stumble so that. So, I'm a total truth guy, and so that's my standard. And because it's the Lord's standard, right? Satan is the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. So when I lie, I'm honoring Satan. When I tell the truth, I'm honoring Jesus. Right? Okay. So that's my goal. That's what I generally do. That's my lifestyle. However, so I got in a fight with my wife. We were fighting, and yes, we do fight sometimes. And we were working through some things. And you know what? You know, it was kind of one of those where, hey, you just need to take, this is your fault. You need to take responsibility for all your actions. Now, can I just tell you what Pastor Darren did? This was a few weeks ago, to be lazy, I said, okay, it was all my fault. I take full responsibility. Now, here's what I was really doing. I was really being wimpy and lazy because I just didn't want to fight anymore. We're done. See, I'll just take full responsibility. Okay, it's all me, bye. I know that wasn't true. Now, I had a part in that. So, am I a hypocrite because I lied? And out later, I had to go back and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, of course, my wife did too. That's what we do. That's what we do as Christians, right? So, am I a hypocrite because I did that? Or did I just fail to meet that? Did I just sin and fail to meet that standard? Do you see what I'm saying? Being a hypocrite isn't setting a standard and then just messing up once in a while. Being a hypocrite is setting that standard, knowing full well that you are not meeting it, and pretending that you are. Does that make sense? A hypocrite in Greek, hypocritis, means one who speaks from behind a mask. It's the one up on stage. They didn't have, you know, Netflix. They didn't have, it was a giant theater, and they had to wear those big masks, you know, with the happy or the frowny. Or the angry, and they would wear a mask, and you won't know what the actors would be like, right? That's a hypocrite, an actor, one who wears a mask. Does that make sense? So his hypocrisy was, it's not that Peter set a stand, he knew what was right. He was at the council. We all agreed together, remember? Jew and Gentile, we're all alike. What are you doing? And you're leading others astray. Not only the other Jews, even Barnabas is going over there. You're causing division. This is, in fact, God showed you that he went to the Gentile world through you, Peter. What are you doing? Okay, so this is not correction level. We got to make sure that we're not hypocrites. Matthew 6:1 says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. It's just not a show. You have one, you perform for one, and that's the Lord. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Jesus called some of the Pharisees that weren't real hypocrites. Matthew 15:7-9 says, Jesus said, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied. You wear a mask. He says, these people honor me with their lips. It's not like that they're trying and they just made a mistake. These people are honoring me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You get it? Their worship of me is in vain. It's only teaching merely human rules. And so Paul had to rebuke him. I'm afraid to ask, how long have I been teaching? How long? There's no way I can get through this. You can do it. Should I? I don't know. Verse 14, it says, when I saw that they were, when I saw, verse 14 says, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, in front of them all, because he's sinning in front of all, after being public about being okay with the Gentiles and Jews and fellowshipping, leading them all astray, he's doing it in front of everybody. So finally, Paul's like, I'm just going to go right up to you in front of them all. And he says, hey, you're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? In other words, hey, you were eating lobster here and barbecue with us last week. You were sitting with us, fellowshipping us. We were all serving, worshiping Jesus together. And all of a sudden, you're self-righteous with the Pharisees? What are you doing? No, and he wants all of them to hear. Sometimes we have to rebuke and listen. And he says he did it in front of all of them. And that's actually biblical. It says, even when it says, don't entertain an accusation against an elder or leader unless you have multiple witnesses. We've got groups, all these Gentiles and Jews, they're all witnesses what Peter's doing. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, as for those who persist in sin, which Peter was doing, he says, I want you to rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. Hey, you're just going to be so bold. Now, that had to be embarrassing to Peter. I bet you he was red-faced. But I'm telling you, it was the right thing to do under the circumstance. I don't know where the mic is. It disappeared. Thank you. Would you give it to Mary-Kate? Thank you. Even Peter said this while you're getting that mic set. He said, this is Peter. He said in Acts chapter 15, 10 or 11, now then, why do you try? This is Peter saying this when they were having this conference with Paul in Jerusalem. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? The yoke of the law is what he was talking about in Acts 15. And then he went on to say, no. We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we're saved, just as they are, Jew and Gentile alike. This is he's the one who said this. And yet, he's over here doing this. Yes.
Can you go back the slide before?
I can for you.
Thank you. Okay, it says, for those who persist in sin.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to me that this might have been the first time that Paul observed Peter doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a brother in sin, you're supposed to talk to them privately first.
Yes. Right.
How do you reconcile those two?
Okay. I think there has to be a balance. And it doesn't say here. So how this plays out in my mind, you know, because it doesn't say exactly. So how this plays out in my mind was, he's coming down to Antioch. He's fellowshipping with all the believers, right? Then some folks come from James. And then he starts kind of drifting away. I don't think it was all a one-time deal. I messed up. Hey, we're all eating together. Boom. Then all of a sudden, all the Jews, all the barn, everybody's like, oh. I think this happened over a period of time. They're eating together, and they're separating themselves. And then some of the Jews, and then more of the Jews, and then they all separate. And then it says, and then even Barnabas comes and separates. So to me, this was a big enough deal and a continuing deal in my mind, in the way that I read the scripture, that's how it happened. Now, even if it wasn't, this is such a big deal because in a minute you're going to see, I can't get to it. There really is too much. I got so much good stuff in here. Lord, help me to focus my thoughts. You're going to see in a minute that it was talking about the truth of the gospel, that we are justified by grace through faith and alone. This isn't like Paul's, you know, now he's just decided to eat, excuse me, that Peter's just decided to eat kosher food. This isn't that. What he's saying is he's sitting with these folks and by his example saying to them, unless you're a Jew and eat like a Jew and sit like a Jew and dress like a Jew and become a Jew, you can't be saved. See, and that's the whole foundation of the gospel. So Peter knows this. this is a big issue, and he's the big head honcho. And so that's why. Does that make sense? That's why it had to be rebuked publicly, because this is the foundation. All these Gentile believers are watching this, and they're thinking, maybe they're thinking, hey, if they're separating and we're not really one of you Christians and we're not really saved and we're not really, then it tears at the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to see that in a couple of verses, which you're going to have to wait till next week. But it'll actually say, this is why he's doing it, because of the truth of the gospel. So this is a foundational thing. This is not a little dispute. Hey, one likes hymns, one likes the more modern music. This isn't, you know, this is somebody who set the standard for doing this and is now completely going against and dragging other people astray in its wake.
It says that in verse 12.
Yeah. So the point is, there are going to be times when that has to be done. Now, you'll have to reconcile with the Holy Spirit. You know, for example, if Pastor Gary, I know Pastor Gary, you know, and he starts, I was going to try to think of an example off the, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Which wheel of the bus was I going under?
Somebody's raising their hand. Now I'm almost afraid to call. Yeah, could you bring that microphone? I don't know where that mic is. It's Mary Kay. Okay, would you bring it back there? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah, all the way in the back.
Thank you.
Because, you know, if the whole congregation is being led astray, even if somebody was up here preaching, we let them speak, and they started saying to you all, hey, by the way, you're not saved by grace by faith, you're saved by Home Fellowship Church, and you're saved because of Pastor Gary. That's why you're saved. And people are starting to go, you see heads shaking, yeah. We're saved by Pastor Gary. And yeah, we're saved by Home Fellowship Church. Yeah, yeah. You know, after a bit, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't. You know what, guys? I am so sorry. That is not true. I would take the microphone from the man, and I would say, you are saved by grace through faith alone by Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. Don't, you know, he might be dressed to the nine. He might be the preacher that everybody wants to. But if he's saying the wrong things and it's foundational to who I am in Christ, it has to be done, especially if it's being done publicly. Does that make sense? Okay, yes.
Yeah, you wound up coming up with a good example. I was going to help you out a little bit.
Thank you. You raised your hand, yeah. And you know what? The Lord gave me the courage to do that. Thank you.
That's cool, man. Yeah, well, when Kelsey and I, not too long ago, we were going to different churches just for geographical reasons, and one of the churches we went to, they had brought all of the newcomers into this room after the church to have this meeting.
Yeah.
And some of them you could tell were kind of like new to Christianity. They were all new to the church at the very least. And one of the leaders of the church got up and started just hounding about the tithing. Like they were being so persistent about it. And I could see a lot, and there's a lot of people in the room, and a lot of people were like pretty taken back by it.
Yeah.
And God doesn't always give me a lot of jobs, but dude, I felt so led, and I had no choice but to raise my hand. And I turned around to the people and was like, "Listen, that's not entirely true.
Yes.
You know, if you don't have the money, God would still want you to come be a part
absolutely.
Of a congregation."
Yes.
And so I thought that was just a good example of. I think in most cases, you know, it is right to pull them to the side.
Absolutely.
But when you've got other people in the mix that could stumble or fall from it, you got to do it publicly.
Yes. Good. Well said. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good word. All right, so I think we're going to have to unfortunately stop. Oh, I worked so hard on those slides. I was so excited to get to them.
They'll be there next week.
They'll be there next week, yeah.
And can't you take a Saturday off then? You've already got it.
No. This ADD brain, I'm going to have to relearn everything again. But let's just be thankful for the word God has given today, okay? And let's pray that he spoke to you. Let's pray that you take it, hide it in your heart, and now you let that permeate every core of your being, okay? So let's give thanks to the Lord for all that he does. God, thank you for being a supernatural God, for teaching us, for training us, Lord, and even rebuking us, correcting us according to your word, Lord God. Help us, Lord, individually, help me to take it in to my heart, to my soul, to my mind, and to make it a part of who I am, Lord God. To not just to hear your word and then forget it, Lord, walk away not knowing what was said, but to hear it and to be a doer and a practicer of your word, Lord God. So, Lord, allow your word to permeate even areas. Even if I didn't like something that was said today and it's from you, I pray that you would wash over and permeate every area of each of our minds and my mind and my heart, Lord God. And if there's anything that I said here, Lord, that wasn't right, I just pray that you would supernaturally erase it, Lord God. Bless these wonderful people here at home. Bless all the viewers that watch us, Lord, faithfully on the video and later on in the week, Lord God, and help us to hear your word and obey it completely, Lord. We love you and we bless you and thank you. In the mighty name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people say together, amen, 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 and amen. Have a great week in Jesus' name.